Welcome to the Education Marketing Leader Podcast with Chris Raposo. If you're looking to dive into the latest industry insights, draw inspiration from education success stories, or just want to sharpen your marketing skills, you're in the right place. Here, we bring you a diverse range of voices from experts and leaders in the field, offering you a unique blend of professional development and practical strategies. Whether you want to understand your audience better, stay updated with the latest tech trends in marketing, or expand your professional network, we've got you covered. So while you're driving on your morning commute or winding down after a busy day, let's explore the dynamic world of education marketing together.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Education Marketing Leader with Chris Raposo. Today, my guest is joining me from Calhoun State Community College. Her name is Sharika Atipo, and she is the Assistant Director of Public Relations and Digital Media. Sharika, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Chris.
Well, you come highly recommended by Jeff Ebbing, so I really wanted you on the show. We've been planning this for a while, but I really look forward to talking about digital ads and personalization in a higher education marketing. So give us a little bit of a background about the Calhoun State Community College, who your target audience is, and what makes it a great place to be.
Okay, absolutely. So we're actually based in Decatur, Alabama. And I know if you Google us, you'll see Tanner, the campus is in the Tanner City. But we actually were able to get annexed into Decatur. So we have a Decatur address, and just our little small circuit of a campus is actually part of Decatur, which is quite interesting. But we do have several other campuses. We have our Huntsville campus, which Huntsville is the largest state, the largest city in Alabama. And then we also have a Alabama Center for the Arts campus, which is in downtown Decatur. And so that's actually a partnership with Athens State University. And so one of the cool things about that is I know people have heard of SCAN University and all of these other arts colleges and universities. And so we have this unique partnership to where the students will take their first 2 years in an arts field of their choice, whether it's music technology, whether it is sculpting, you know, painting, maybe it's the theater and they want to be an actor one day. We've got singing. We've got all sorts of things. We've got jazz band. And so students are actually able to obtain their degree in the arts, and they'll do the first 2 years at Calhoun, and then they stay in the same building and they can finish their last 2 years at Athens State University. And so one of the cool things about Athens State University is that they're a junior senior level college. So although you can get your bachelor's and your master's from there, it's only the junior and senior level. So it makes perfect sense that Calhoun is the first 2 years and Athens State is the last 2 years. And so we've got that seamless program to where students are able to, you know, like I said, come to Calhoun and go to Athens State, and they still get that university feel. So that's a cool thing. We also just built a new residence hall apartment downtown as well for those students, so they can, you know, walk around the corner, go home, you know, relax for a little bit, and then walk back to campus. So we're heavy in workforce development. Calhoun is like the 13th largest nursing producer in the state of Alabama. So yeah, so our nurses pass their NCLEX scores like 97%. Our dental assisting and dental hygiene just had perfect 100% score. So anybody that needs to get their teeth done, and if they see the student graduate from Calhoun, they know they're in good hands. So that's something. Absolutely. And the college also is the number one producer for advanced manufacturing degrees for the state of Alabama. And so we're very, very proud of the accolades that the college, you know, continues to have. But that's a testament to our instructors and to, you know, the community that supports us, as well as the students that are performing well and going out into the workforce.
Yeah, I always say that community colleges are the backbone of America, and that's what it sounds like when it comes to Calhoun Community College.
Absolutely.
But, and I love the partnership too that you have with Athens State, so that's always nice, you know, keep it convenient for students to stay in a familiar place and don't, before you get those students coming through your doors, because there's a lot of competition out there in higher education.
Yes.
And So let's talk about digital ads, marketing strategy, how you get people just to have your community college be top of mind with them. So can you share some of the digital advertising strategies that have been particularly successful for your institution?
Yes, absolutely. So we all know that pretty much everybody is glued to our devices, whether it's our cell phone, whether it's our tablet, whether it's our laptop, because we're mobile. You know, the world is very, very fast paced. Everything is moving very, very quickly. So one thing that we always have to keep in the back of our minds here at Calhoun is, how are we capturing the attention of those that are so busy? You know, everything is almost like a fast food environment. You know, how do I get it quickly? So one of the things that I feel like we do very well here at Calhoun is that we do provide accelerated programs, like, you know, our accelerated nursing, our accelerated manufacturing, that get you in the door quickly. So when we create those ads, we are very intentional about targeting those ads. So people that are using Google search words like, you know, job training, you know, how do I find a job in this area or that? We have a couple of different tactics to where we can create ads that show people how they can get their degree to get that skill set. And also we provide them with the job. So it's almost like a co-op opportunity. And we like to call it our earn and learn program. So, you know, we tell people how you can earn and learn, because we don't want people to have to choose which one is, you know, the best way to go. So a lot of times we personalize those ads to speak to the individual, like whatever it is you're searching for, it will be attached to that particular image that you might get. And so we'll do different type of A, B, and C campaigns to target that student. So maybe it's, you know, you've almost finished your degree and you got a couple of classes left. So we'll have that, you know, image that's, you know, hey, it's not too late, or you're almost there at the finish line. And maybe it's a graduate, you know, at the race of a finish line. We create those different type of, you know, graphics to where it's like, ah, that's going to catch your attention, versus a student sitting in the grass and it's like, hey, come enroll today, you know? So I think sometimes we understand that there is a dating period, you know, when you're trying to introduce people to your institution. So you kind of try to give a scope of that in those ads, and you try to personalize it to where they can envision themselves on your campus.
That's right. It's all about visualization and starting with the end goal in mind when you see somebody walking across that stage getting a degree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We actually have an ad about that that says, this could be you. And it's a graduate holding your degree, you know? So a lot can happen in 2 years. And you've got that student that's sitting, you know, maybe at a bus stop or not doing anything. And 2 years later, they've got that degree. So
right.
Definitely, I think we'll be with that, with the personalization of the ads.
Yeah, I love that. It's also, a lot of people are dead-end jobs where they're not going anywhere and they may be miserable there, you know, giving them that hope.
With that
visual, that's really compelling for
you. Yes.
And also communicating maybe the open access too, right? Because some people may think that college isn't for them, or people told them in their past when they were kids that they're not smart enough to go to college.
Absolutely.
But, you know, they got on the right track and now they're able to see themselves advancing in their careers as well. But they may think that college is just for the privileged and brilliant minds out there. But anybody who has the gumption to step out in faith to make something of themselves with a community college. I went to community college as well. You know, it's where I got my start. And if it wasn't for Hillsbury Community College, I would have never gone to the University of Florida. So definitely highly, you know, recommend going to community college. Also keep the tuition costs low at the beginning.
Absolutely.
So yeah, let's talk about tuition. Let's talk about budgets. How do you approach setting up, you know, how do you set up a digital marketing campaign in higher education, and what factors influence your decision?
Right. So for us, we have so many digital campaigns moving at one time. You know, as you can imagine, community colleges, we consider ourselves the alphabet soup of all the things we do for the world, you know, different fields, different things that people can go into. So with higher ed, when you've got all these moving pieces, a lot of times you have to really sit back and think, okay, which programs are going to need the bulk of the money? You look at enrollment, you look at, you know, how many people are actually filling applications and they're utilizing, like, hey, I want to go into this program or that one. So a lot of times we'll know kind of how to shuffle. For us, we particularly have to be even more strategic and granular, because we have to break our budget up into three semesters. So out of one fiscal year, we have to, you know, register, well, actually advertise for fall, spring, and summer semesters. So for us, we split, you know, our semesters up. We split the money up. Now, of course, summer won't get as much money as fall and spring because those are going to be your bigger pushes. So typically, if we're doing, you know, a few campaigns in the summertime, sometimes we might do an internal campaign, you know, where we'll boost a few ads or so. And then a lot of times we will use our digital vendors that have a lot more reach for us. So we do that in the fall and the spring. And we do it also sometimes in the summer. And I think really for us, even getting even more granular, we have to break up how much print are we doing this go around? How many events are we sponsoring and all that? And so typically, I have to be honest with you, the bulk of our money goes to digital advertising. And the reason being is because that is almost like a guaranteed way to capture your audience, because digital is more than just on your cell phone. It's more than just on your laptop getting that ad on the side. It's, you know, I'm streaming, you know, on TV and I'm watching, say, Hulu, YouTube, or what have you. And then you can have that static ad that comes in, or you might have that video that comes in. So there's so many different ranges of digital that you can do. That's great. So we also factor into that too, because we do a lot of streaming. We know that a lot of people are cord cutters. So we know people live, you know, on the streaming platforms and we need to be there. We know a lot of our students love gaming. So we know we need to probably be on Twitch, you know, and then we know not too much. It's like you got to look at the platform and adjust accordingly to get their attention. So
that's something, you know, because then you really got to know your audience, like where they actually hang out.
Yes.
Not just Google Ads and Facebook Ads, right? It's like, yes. Twitter.
It's so
thought of that.
That's right. I had a work study in my office, and she told me one day, I said, listen, I said, where do you go to get your content? Because we did a feasibility study. It had already gone out to our students. We did a feasibility study to see which platforms they hang out on and all this good stuff. And so she mentioned Twitch. And I'm thinking, like, is that some type of that's some type of issue or something?
Yeah.
No, it's Twitch. And I said, well, what are you doing on this Twitch thing? And you could tell the generation gap between she and I. And she said, oh, I go on there and I watch other people play video games. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I just checked it out because I never heard of it either. So I went just on that site. I was like, what is Twitch? You know, I always do live research while I'm on a call and somebody says something. I got the screen up and I check it out. So I was like, this is interesting, you know, different era, I guess.
Right. Absolutely. So it's, but in the reality is that although it may not make sense to us, it makes sense to our target audience. So we need to be where they are and we need to make sure that we fit in where they are. So we also need to make sure we're not the elephant in the room when we're on Twitch. We need to make sure we're doing things like promoting our gaming club and the scholarships that are attached to that on Twitch, you know, and so we actually do have that. So it's just being mindful of the platform and making sure the content is, you know, adjusted accordingly.
That is super insightful. Like I learned something already. So, because like you said, that person said she watches other people play on Twitch. It's like me watching a football game on TV. It's
absolutely
not anything different, right? So they run
or a YouTube video to learn how to do something. You know, it's the same thing, but it's just what they're more interested in. So it's literally the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So talking about the different audiences,
mm-hmm.
I know that nursing, dental hygienists, it's big at that community college and a lot of success with. But you walk us through your process of segmenting your audiences when you're creating an ad. Do you focus on what already works well, or do you let the things run that already work well, like the nursing program, the dental hygienist, and then focus your attention on some other programs that may not be as successful?
Right. So that's what we do. Really, nursing sells itself, which is a blessing for us here at the college. There is a waiting list for people to get into our nursing program. The same has been for dental. We've been extremely blessed and very fortunate that students are like beating down the door for like our advanced manufacturing programs, our nursing programs, our dental, you know, and just in general, a lot of our programs. But I think overall, because we do so much, I think people understand that Calhoun is a presence and they know that we're a higher education institution to where they can get their degree. But some don't know, hey, you don't have to get that degree. You can come here and get that certificate. You can come here and get this or that. So I think for us, we also try to look for those people, not per se always looking for the degree, because that may not be our segmented audience. It might be that person, like you mentioned earlier, I need some more job training. So we tweak it to where it's like, hey, we're offering this certification and say, C++, you're already on the job and you're doing these things. We've got that. We have a pre-engineering program. So we've got a systems engineering program also, which one of the cool things is we're the only, we were the first. I don't want to say only because I don't know if anybody else has jumped on that bagel, but we were the first 2-year institution to have a systems engineering degree program at the college in the nation. So that speaks volumes. We worked with Auburn University and with a company called IDEA to create the curriculum. And we go firsthand to the engineers and they're like, this is what we need. And so there might be somebody out there that's like, hey, listen, I want to be an engineer. I want to make engineering money, but I don't want to do engineering math. So we're able to segment those ads, you know, in that audience to where it's like, you have interest in engineering, you know? And so sometimes you got to be honest with yourself because everyone's not going to be the doctor, but that surgical technician is very important in that operating room.
Absolutely. So, it's like the paralegal and the attorney, you know?
And absolutely. They're, you know, that's their right hand. They literally need that person because they can't do it all. So I think for us, we follow more so the behavior. And I think that kind of gets it more granular to where it's, you're able to actually tap that individual on the shoulder and say, hey, you're the one looking for, you know, have you ever seen that you've been on a platform and you're being delivered an ad? And it's like, why am I getting these ads? You know? And so me now as an advertiser on this side, I think like someone is wasting all these impressions because I'm not their target audience. But I think sometimes it's a little bit better to get granular than shooting out in the scar, you know, shooting in the sky and hoping to get something. I think now technology has allowed us to actually be able to follow those behaviors on you know, the internet or so, and actually find those individuals. So that's kind of, I would say, how we segment our audience, because no one is too old or too young unless they're, you know,
yeah,
I would say, you know, unless they're in elementary school, they can't come.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. They come from all walks of life. You see those news articles where a 70-year-old graduate degree, you know, so it's anything's possible. About lifelong learning is a thing.
Absolutely. So
they just go back to learn a little bit more. But so we talked about Twitch as a platform, but some of the platforms, of what platform in particular is most effective for your ads?
Right. So so we seem to perform very well on Facebook. We perform very well on YouTube because a lot of people get so much content off of YouTube. Google Ads, but also, like I mentioned before, following the individual. So a lot of times, although we're utilizing these platforms, we're actually tracking our target audience. So wherever they go in the digital landscape, we're there, you know, which is cool. So one other neat thing that we do, we have a couple of our larger stations in the Huntsville metro area. And so a lot of times what we'll do is we'll partner with them and we'll do homepage takeovers on their pages. So the nice thing is when people are coming to their page, they're seeing Calhoun content. And that works very well whenever you learn that they either have very high views on their page, then it's effective. That's when you want to do that. But if they don't have so many site visitors, you may not want to go that route. But ours tends to have very high foot traffic because people are looking for news. News is very heavy right now. So in your political seasons, it's like, yeah, it's a great time to be on those pages, even their weather apps. So those are some of the other digital landscapes that we're on, because we do apps also.
Yeah, yeah. Especially relevant for those coastal area schools when a hurricane's coming. You know, people are going to be on those weather apps for sure.
That's right.
Very cool. So personalization is hot, you know. So how important is it to you and your marketing strategy to implement personalization in your marketing?
Right. It's big. It's very, very big for us. One thing we love to do is spotlight our students. We love to showcase them in the best light possible. So, at graduation, we take tons of photos. We have a photographer on campus. And so she does our web stuff too, but she does great photography. So every event, we've got our photographer there to capture those great moments in all of the degree programs. And so when we are doing our digital advertising, we're putting our actual students on those graphics. So it's so cool when you have a student to say, oh, that's me on that billboard, or that's me in the commercial, because we also produce our commercials in-house. That's word of mouth advertising. I mean, it's just free. It's free. And so we need a face, and we also need that referral. So it works. It's like a two-hand street. So we love actually personalizing it, because I think a lot of times, you know, if someone knows you personally, they're like, hey, that's Chris on that billboard. Oh, he went to that college. And if they're considering it and they trust you, you know, a lot of times that trust will be passed. They'll be passed on. So I think it's phenomenal. And I also think that students love to see themselves on, you know, different graphics. But even if we're getting, say, for instance, we're sending out a letter, we personalize those letters too in those graphics with their names on it, because we're placing them on the campus and we're letting them know early on in the relationship, you belong here, you belong with us. So I think personalization is huge. It's huge for us.
Yes, everybody loves to be recognized. And, you know, when my college, when my university did a piece on me, I shared it with everyone I knew. I shared on LinkedIn, I sent it to my mom. Yeah, I sent it to my mom in Germany. I'm sure she showed friends of hers. You know, so it's like it spreads. It's that social proof is the best proof, I always say.
Absolutely
love that. Now, we talked about a lot of the positives and what's working. What are some of the challenges you faced over the time at Calhoun and the segmented audiences or targeted ads altogether?
Right, absolutely. So we bragged about being the alphabet soup, right? We bragged about all of the different things we do. Sometimes it's so hard to get that into one ad. How do you capture all of that into one ad and not be too noisy in your advertising? And so I think we do a very good job at, you know, placing when we're going to advertise certain things and how we're going to get that advertisement out. I think if you just convolute everything and kind of shoot it out there, it's a lot. It's too busy. It's too much. And people are like, whoa, 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 what's the message? Because you can't really capture health sciences degrees in an advanced manufacturing degree. So one of the challenges is like definitely making sure we keep that target audience in mind, but staying central with the focus message of, you know, you belong here at Calhoun. We have affordable classes. We have flexible classes because we've got online, in person. We have several programs to where the student would never have to set foot on campus. And they can primarily get that degree online. So sometimes it can be a little bit of a challenge trying to relay those messages, but with challenges, I think of challenges as opportunities. So I try not to think of that as a negative. I try to think of that as a positive, which I bet my team will probably say, yeah, she has a lot of opportunities. She bringing all this for us. But I think on the flip side, I think it's definitely an opportunity for us to get that message out there. And I love a good challenge. I do.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I always say where there's a challenge, or I always say where there's turmoil, there's opportunity.
Absolutely. So
you just got to get after it, and then, you know, you'll reap the rewards in the areas where others are hesitant to touch. Now,
right.
Let's talk future trends and innovation, because AI is out there. Everybody's talking about it. How do you foresee the role of AI and machine learning evolving in the creation of segmented and personalized digital ads? Do you utilize it heavily?
So as a two-part question, do we utilize it heavily? We utilize it, but not heavily.
Okay.
A fun fact is that we've had like so much, you know, going on with AI and all that stuff. And so a lot of times technology can be a blessing and a curse. So we have to be very careful in a sense of creating things, because you get into the issues of, okay, is this copyrighted? Like, who does this belong to? Because AI is, you know, an automatic generated something, but where are they getting it from? They're pulling it from the web from all these different places. So if you're doing something like a news release, or you're doing something like some type of booklet or so, you have to be so careful with that, because they're pulling this information from somewhere else. So so that's one of the things. So we kind of steer clear of it when it comes to that. Everything is organically written from the college, so we don't use it for that. As far as graphics and designs, we have played in that, because I think AI is here and it's here to stay. It's not going to go away. That's one of the things. But it's like, how do we embrace the technology and we let it work for us? And so some of the cool things that we have done is, you know, maybe taking just regular wording and dropping it in AI and saying, hey, you know, make this animated, make this this or that. When we need those really quick graphics or so, AI is perfect for that. Especially for a lot of marketers or PR people, especially for our state, and that's a one-man show. They may not have time to sit down and take Adobe or InDesign and peel apart something. But you could put your thought process into AI, and AI can create something amazing for you that belongs to your college. So I can see it definitely being a blessing when it's used correctly. And then for the personalization part of it, AI is like one of those things to where it's like, it's so cool. You can tell it to do stuff and there's no back talk. You know, it's like, hey, personalize this for this individual or so. And yep. You could come up with some really cool stuff, different signage and stuff with the students' names on it very quickly. It generates it very quickly. So I think it cuts down on productivity in certain areas. I can see that.
Yes. No, absolutely. I love that. I love AI. I use it quite a bit. What's your favorite tool, AI tool that you use?
So the interesting thing is I am still dibbing and dabbing in it, but there is a logo generator tool, and it's not connected to the college. And I promise, on air, we do not use any AI generated logos. We have two graphic designers. They create everything in-house. But me personally, I've had like a few little initiatives that I've been wanting to do and take on. And by all means, my graphic design skills they're okay. So I've designed a couple of things and I just drop it into AI and I'm like, beef this thing up. But there's an AI logo generator. And so I've been able to do that. And so maybe one of the things is like, you know, as advertisers, if we get stuck and we're like, this is what we've got, where can I take this? How can I take this to the next level? And you drop what you've already got in there, you can see that as inspiration to keep going. So I can see it as being an inspirational tool as well, to where when you get in that creative, you know, hunch and it's like, oh my goodness, like I'm stuck in a rut. How do I get out of this? Sometimes AI can come in and get it. And I don't know the official name for it, but I know if you type in AI logo generator, it pops like right out.
Oh, nice. I have to check that out. Yes. I like playing around because I'm not very good at designing my own stuff. So I use AI for that as well. So,
oh yeah, it's perfect for that.
Very cool. I just recently had a webinar on student retention using social media to create student retention with one of your colleagues, community college leader Maya Demishkovich. You may have heard of her. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to social media, what role does it play in your overall digital marketing strategy?
Yeah, so we use it for quite a few different things. We use it for shouting out accolades, because one of the great things is, like you mentioned before, when your college, you know, acknowledged you and spotlighted you, the first thing you said you wanted to do was what? Share it, right? So we love posting, you know, our students, our accolades are on social media, especially Facebook, because when we see that share button and as it increases, it just warms our hearts. So people love to share great news. People love to share great things. And that's putting your name out there. So we definitely use Facebook in that aspect for that. Again, we use Instagram as well. We love Twitter. So Twitter, we do a lot of our sports and our news. We do a lot of that on there. We kind of consider Twitter to be our news house, which, you know, that's what the platform is. But we love Twitter because we're able to tag a lot of the different sports outlets that also share and publicize our athletics, you know, department. So
nice.
We use social media as much as we possibly can. And again, we tailor everything, you know, to that particular platform. So of course, Instagram, we're going to be all of our great photos that we take. you know, on campus and all of these great things, and Facebook are going to be a lot of our events that we have on campus. That tool has been so helpful. You know, we use that. Another thing that a lot of people are not really speaking about, and it's a great opportunity, is LinkedIn. LinkedIn, we use it greatly. You know, those are where your job seekers are going to be. Those are the people that are looking for the skill set. So a lot of times we'll post stuff on LinkedIn, whether it's some of our certificate trainings and different things like that, or some of our info sessions of, hey, you know, you might want to enter into this field. Or so we definitely utilize that platform as well to get the word out about that also.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's mostly organic, is it?
Yep, it's completely organic, which is great. So you know that you're not getting delivered anything that might be, you know, untrue or false, or it's clickbait. It's coming straight from the source. So
awesome. I love that that multi-pronged approach to digital marketing. Now, it's somebody's listening in from a higher ed institution, maybe a 1 or 2 person marketing team that's stretched thin. What advice would you give them if they look to enhance their digital marketing efforts?
So one thing I would say is, number one, depending on your budget, possibly consider getting a vendor that can actually be your one-stop shop, you know, for digital advertising. One of the worst things you can do, and I say this with true conviction, one of the worst things you can do is have 5 or 6 different people doing digital for you. And the reason being is because you might be spreading yourself thin by thinking, oh, okay, I'm tackling all these areas. But if your campaigns are not working to complement one another, you're really not going to get the return on investment that you think you might get. A lot of these vendors, for instance, you know, technology now allows you to do a couple of different things. You know, say you create a digital ad. Well, a lot of these vendors out here can attach a pixel to your website. So once that person clicks on that ad and they're redirected to your site, or even if they hover over it, these days now you don't have to click on it. If you just hover over it and say you go to the website, that pixel would track that person's IP address, which can get all their information. And I know this may seem completely weird and creepy, but it's a reality. And
it is.
But depending on what type of, hosting site you have, you can retain and capture that information and create that for your campaign, because you know this person is interested in my, in your institution, some way, shape, or form, or fashion. You know, they're interested. Another thing too is just making sure that if you get with vendors, that don't pay attention to the impression number only. That number is important, but that's not the only important piece. Making sure that you're able to put tactics in to really reach your audience. What good is it if it's, hey, we delivered you 700,000 ads, but to the entire world? Well, the entire world isn't interested in coming to your college. So just making sure that if you get with these vendors, that they have true tactics to really be able to tackle your target audience, and also to have a mechanism to retarget them. Because how many times have we put things in our cart in Amazon, and Amazon like, hey, guess what? That thing in your cart is cheaper, you know? Sometimes you can retarget them and say, hey, you know, I know you raised your hand at one point and life happened, but guess what? We've got the scholarship application is open. Or, hey, guess what? We've got this full ride scholarship opportunity available. Let's go ahead and get you, you know, get your application in and see if you qualify. So I think making sure that, you know, when you're doing these digital paths, that the tactics are really going to get that student on your campus and in the door. I talked about being creepy that we could capture their information, but we've got a platform to where when they step foot on campus, if they come with any of those devices, we know that student was on campus. So then we could take all of that data, go to our admissions team and say, hey, let's compare, you know, apples to oranges. Well, when you see the apples to apples, because that student that we targeted came, you know, your campaigns are working. It's difficult to do that with billboards because people are doing 70 miles per hour, you know, flying down the highway. They're doing all these different things, but digital has evolved to where you can truly capture it. So I would just highly recommend them possibly finding a digital advertiser that truly understands digital And that can make sure their campaigns are as effective as possible.
Absolutely. Super insightful episode today, Chirica. I really appreciate
you.
How can people get in touch with you? They want to connect with you to learn more about you.
Yes, absolutely. My LinkedIn page, you can look me up, Chirica Atifo. I'm on LinkedIn. I am on Facebook as well. Preferably LinkedIn. I probably spend more of my time on LinkedIn than anything, and I think that would be the perfect way to connect. So I think
that's good. I'll be sure to tag you in the recap so people can find you easily.
Awesome.
So, yeah, really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
I learned a lot. I know the audience will learn a lot, and I look forward to publishing this soon.
Great. Thank you so much, Chris.
You bet. Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into the show today. If you enjoyed it, don't keep it to yourself. Share with your friends in your network. And if you have a moment, I would really appreciate a review of the podcast. That'll help other people find the show as well. Tune in every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. when I release another episode. Take care now. Have a good one, friends.